First reading this morning is from Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 12. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From En Gedi to En Eglem, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left to salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." Second reading is from John 7, verses 37 to 44. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
G'day. I don't like standing up here at Blackton. Much rather be walking around, but I suppose I'm tied to this thing a little bit. I thank you for reading that passage from Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a book we don't go to very often. Let me first talk about water, because this, I believe, is the message of God's abundance and God's goodness. And secondly, it's a message of encouragement. Water is part of that first message. But the situation that the message was spoken into is that the people of Israel were in Babylon. They were slaves. God's special people. How could this happen? How could this be? That suddenly they're slaves. And they're not feeling too good about themselves. Hopeless. It's a message of encouragement. Water is an essential part of living. We all know that. You can last about 2 to 3 days without water. I'm a civil engineer, now retired. Don't have to fight with people anymore. Only others who I don't have to work with. But anyway, I spent a lot of my time in the water and wastewater industry. And in the last few years of my working career as a consulting engineer, I did a fair bit of work in Ingham, and I probably know too much about your water and sewage systems. One of my observations is that we in our society, like many other services, take water for granted. We just assume it's there. You know, we've been through COVID. Remember the advertising that said, every time you go to the toilet, wash your hands for 20 seconds while you sing happy birthday to you. You remember that ad? An assumption. One, you're assuming there's enough water in the system to allow you 20 seconds. The second thing is you're assuming that water's cleaner than your hands, which in our society, it is. It's our right to have water whenever we want it. And we whinge bloom over if it doesn't happen. Trust me, as a council engineer, I've been on the receiving end of many whinges. We trust the quantity and the quality of our water. And the only choice we have to make now is how many bathrooms we're going to have. And whether our taps will be chrome or gold or even black. Or, I wonder if we can have a swimming pool. Our water's there. We just assume. Not so in many parts of the world, although it is getting better. The world is getting much better and getting better quite quickly. Don't believe all the negative stuff you see about how the world's getting worse. It's, in a lot of areas, the world is getting better. There are many more people who have decent water and sewage services in our world today than there were even 10 years ago. It's dramatically improving. But in the society that Ezekiel was speaking into, and the society of the Bible, water was precious. Water was something that you had to go to the well for, or the spring. You had to work hard for your water. And you didn't waste it. And so when we get this picture from Ezekiel of this river tumbling down the mountains, it's a picture of abundance, of blessing. And one of the ways I look at it, it's as if God's blessing comes tumbling down the mountains. So, Ezekiel was a prophet priest who was taken into captivity. He was in Babylon. And a lot of the first part of his book, Ezekiel gets a dramatic visions of God and God's holiness. And he sees the nation's sin and he calls it out. He's quite critical. But towards the end of the book, the tone changes. And we see a picture of restoration, of God's blessing coming through his people again. And this passage we read today is part of that. So, what does it mean? Well, just a little word of caution, I think, when we look at some of these pictures. Did you see the water flowed from the east side of the altar? Did you know what that meant? Who thinks they know what that meant? Good. I don't have a clue either. But I think if we start to worry about what does it mean that the water came from the east side of the earth, we miss the point. What's the big picture that God is trying to say through this passage? And I've come up with 6 points. And as I said to the people at Halifax, there'll be an exam as you go out, see if you've got them. Only joking. But I am an engineer, so I think in dot points. My wife used to say when I wrote her letters, she said, I write in dot points. I said, yeah, well, why would you waste all these words when you can put it down in 10 dot points? How engineers think. One, point number one, the source of the water. Who can tell me where the water comes from? We read it. Yell out. The throne. In the temple. The water, and where does it flow? Out of the threshold. What's the threshold? Where you come in. So where you come in, water flows out. The temple is seen as where God is. And this water, the source of the water, is God himself. Flowing out from the temple. That's one. Two, it can't be stopped. Did you notice as it flows down the mountain, it got bigger and deeper? It started off ankle deep, and then he went for 1,000 cubits. You know what a cubit is? Yep. In the old days, they didn't have measuring sticks, so that's how they measured. Roughly. But it doesn't matter the actual distance, it's a long way. So they've gone down, and what happens? The water was ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, and finally it's so big you can't even get across. I'm a hydraulics engineer. That picture is not possible hydraulically. Because as water goes and gets used up, it gets less. Rivers get bigger because there's more tributaries, but there's no more tributaries. This has got one source, but it keeps getting bigger. That's what God's blessing is like, isn't it? You use it up, but it keeps coming. Third point, the river brings new life in surprising ways. Ezekiel turned around and looked, and there was trees growing to his surprise. In this arid country, this picture of this beautiful river with trees growing everywhere comes out. Fourth point, the river revives. What happened in the Dead Sea? Fish? Anyone ever been to the Dead Sea? I haven't. You have? Are there any fish? No. What does Ezekiel see? Fish, and all along the banks the fishermen are driving their nets, and there's so many fish it's like the Mediterranean. The Dead Sea is what, 200-300 meters below sea level, something like that, and Jerusalem's about 700 meters above, so it goes down the mountain, and as it goes it brings new life and it restores and revives life. Fifth point, the river brings life that is abundant. Are there any gardeners here? These gardeners? How many crops a year did you get off your orange tree? How many were coming in that passage? Did you read it? Every month. How good is that? It's abundant life. You can't catch up. As fast as you eat one, there's more coming. God's blessing is flowing. And the last bit was the last word. It says, the trees, the fruit is for food, and the leaves are for
healing.
God's message, God's blessing,
brings healing.
This to me is a picture of the goodness of God flowing. And you can't wait, it just keeps coming. As fast as you use it up, there's more fruit on the tree. And there's more fish in the sea. You see, it's not necessarily a literal picture, because the Dead Sea is still dead. It's a picture of what God intends and what God wants to bring. Remember, his people were feeling hopeless, helpless, lost, abandoned. And Ezekiel says, the river of life is flowing.
I would like to have the right plans, but I can hear some of these songs, and I can see them.
Thank you. God says, oh, I said, I had this dream.
of someone who has turned up in a little way and bring me a steaming hot cup of coffee. Because he was tired. And I said to him, look at my heart and said, sorry, my heart was broken. God was on board. So I went to the town and I was like, and God in the city here says, what would Jesus say? How can I become a river of life? And he answers, so I need to hear that. So I go back to the city and I said, what's the point of the coffee? And he needs to make me go back and make me do it. And I said, probably she didn't even go to see what she was doing. I've got that too. But that's how God works us, and God wants to know us. Go and be